Okay, hello everyone. So today we are talking about what I called achilat adam, eating human beings, or what other people call cannibalism. Just wanted to first start off, this is chicken, not human. So just so that way we're aware, so that way you'll know whether or not we can later on. So if you notice, most of the shurim that I give, I usually have about a two-page write-up on, because there's a lot of research that goes into it. Surprisingly, there's not a lot that I could find. So there's really only about half a page worth of stuff that I could really find on cannibalism. Even when searching on YU Torah, there's about maybe five shurim on cannibalism. Whereas if you search up like Parsha Toldot, there's thousands. That was like 2 weeks ago, last week, whatever. So it's a little bit weird that there's just like, there's not a lot of literature and there's not a lot of talk about it. Because it really seems that according to most poskim, according to most people, there really is no actual isser of cannibalism. It seems that according to most people, there is no formal isser. There's no formal prohibition of eating other human beings. Great. So, actually, jokes. This was actually not chicken. It's actually no. That would be a crazy way to tell you guys that you're eating a human being. But
during certain times, there's a hunger going on, and like you know, they had nothing else to eat, so they basically drink.
So we're going to talk about. We're going to talk a little bit about it. We're going to talk about it. There are many poskim, if not majority, who say there is no formal isser for cannibalism. However, there are also many commentaries who will say we know that cannibalism is not allowed, but we can't actually prove it from anything, and we have a lot of weak reasons to say why it is not allowed, but we really have no idea where. There is a formal isser for cannibalism. But in reality, okay, so let's talk about the different parts. So let's first talk about blood. So in terms of blood, really it is allowed to have from the Torah, you're allowed to drink human blood. For all the vampires in the room, all the Twilight fans, it is technically allowed. However, if you cut yourself in your lip on the inside, you don't need to all of a sudden hold your lip out and try to drain the blood or stop the bleeding before trying to be normal. However, the rabbis did prohibit eating blood once it leaves the body. So if your finger is bleeding and it drips onto your peanut butter sandwich that you have on the table. So you would need to cut out that piece of peanut butter sandwich, that piece of bread that has the blood on it, because that would be prohibited to eat. So once it leaves your body, it then becomes prohibited to eat. And they're worried about marat ayin, about someone, even out of your mouth, same thing. If it's out of your mouth, then... So then you would have to take off that piece of bread that has blood on it, because once it leaves your mouth, once it leaves your body, it would not be allowed to be consumed. They're worried about marat ayin, that someone should not come and see you, that if you're, let's say you're drinking a cup of human blood, that someone should see you and think that that you are drinking blood that is prohibited, which would be from an animal. So again, why did the Rabbanan exactly prohibit the blood as opposed to say, well, you just need a box, a carton on the table that says human blood, the same way that you would do for fish blood if you're drinking fish blood, as opposed to totally prohibiting it? I don't know the answer to that. But they are worried chicken blood is not allowed to be eaten. Chicken blood is not allowed to be eaten.
What's the red stuff?
Juices from, when you cut into a chicken and there's like, it looks like it's blood, it's not actually blood because it's all salted. What? Okay, well, we're talking about humans. So, if human beings were not kosher, you would have two problems. The blood and breast milk, because there is a prohibition called yotze mina iser, that something that comes out of something that is prohibited is also prohibited, which is why milk of a non-kosher animal is also prohibited. So how is breast milk allowed to be eaten by both babies and technically by why you're allowed to put it into a bottle and then wash it over all your dishes? If human beings were not kosher, then breast milk would not be kosher, and then you would not be allowed to wash it in your sink and put it in your and give it to your children. Additionally, you would also have the problem of the blood issue that we just discussed, that if the blood was really not allowed, so then you would maybe need to hold your lip open and be worried about consuming blood that still hasn't come out of your body yet. Yeah.
Can't you separate the two things, though, by saying that just like the skin or like the bones and whatever of the human body is asur, whereas...
Well, that's what we're talking about, whether or not it's asur.
Right.
Because it's not so clear. Right. Because you can't really separate... Yeah.
Aren't there stuff like animal products that we eat from non-kosher animals? Like honey?
So honey is the only... The only one, and it's a whole – that's a very good question. It's the only exception to this case of yotze mina iser, of something that's a by – because this is more of a byproduct as opposed to actually coming out of the bee. Like a bee doesn't produce honey. It's a byproduct of the bee bringing the pollen to the – I don't exactly know any science. Flavia? That's – yeah, but it's something – it's not – the honey is not produced inside the bee. There's some chemical that the bee does that creates the honey, but it's not the actual stuff. So yeah, so it's a little bit complex. So again, we're in like this little bit of a tough spot. If you want to say humans are not kosher, so then you have a problem of yotze, of something coming from something that is allowed, from being not kosher. So you have this problem of blood and breast milk. So let any other questions, comments, concerns up until this point? No. Okay. So there are mefarshim, there are commentators who say that that eating a human being is actually it's even if you want to say it's bad, it actually might not be as bad as eating other forbidden items. So the question, like if you're in a situation, it seems according to many, many commentators that if you are either in a life-threatening situation or if you have a situation where you have to eat pig or human being, it seems like it actually might be better to eat human being than it is to eat pig. How do we know that? Is according to the Rambam, I believe it's the Rambam, that you do not get lashes for eating human, but you would get lashes for eating something else that is not kosher, like pig or something that's not shechted properly or any other non-kosher animal. Correct. I mean, they can. It's just not a kosher shechita. Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, but what if you're stuck on an island and it's just you and another human being?
So then seemingly it might be better to eat the – other person rather than a pig. Okay, so let's get into these other questions. But again, according to many, it is still usser, but it and from the Torah, and we're now going to go through the opinions that say it's usser from the Torah to eat human beings. But they say even according to its usser being from the Torah, it would still be better than other isurim from the Torah, like eating pig or a non-shechted animal. Yes, good. We're all on the same page. Yes? Okay. So according to these Mefarshim, they say that it is usur from the Torah to eat human beings. So the Rambam brings a proof from the Pasuk in Shmini that says, Zot achaya asher tochlu mikol habeimah asher al haaretz. This is the animals that you are allowed to eat on the land. Kol mefarset parsa, anyone that has split hooves, the shashat shesa, and it's totally split hooves, parsat, that the hoof is totally split, ma'alat geira, and brings up its cud, it chews its cud, beima, ba beima, atatochelu. Those signs that are found in animals, that those are the ones that you would eat. So, it seems from this pasuk that it says these are the kosher animals, the ones that have totally split hooves and shuitz cud. Those are the ones that you are allowed to eat. Humans are not on that list because they're not listed. It doesn't give you any kosher signs, right? It gives you later on how what are birds, right? You'll list the 24 non-kosher ones, and if it's not, we talked about this last week, if it's not predatory and it's not on the list of 24, so then it would be kosher. For fish, you need removable scales and an extra fin. And for animals, you need totally split hooves and chewing its cud. And it doesn't give any signs for humans, and therefore humans would not be kosher. And it says, even according to the Rambam, again, like we said, there's no lashes given for eating human beings, whereas other forbidden animals, there would be lashes. And again, it's very important to share here that the Rambam is not saying that you're not allowed to eat human beings because they don't have split hooves and they don't chew their cud, but rather, because the Torah lists all these other signs for all these types of animals, and human beings would be in their own category, and it doesn't give us category of how to say human beings are kosher. If it was kosher, it would have said, and this is kosher. But it doesn't, and therefore, by omission, it is usser. Yes? All on the same page?
It has to say that it's kosher, otherwise it's not kosher.
Seemingly. Meaning, like, anything that's not listed in the Torah, it says what is kosher. So you have every category except for human beings. So the question is, so what do we do? There's no really other category that's not listed. So because we have a category that's unlisted, we assume that it doesn't have kosher signs. Otherwise it would have said, and this is what allows either human being to be kosher. It is usher by omission. Rav Kook says that eating a human being is just disgusting, and there is a rule of Baal Tishaktu that you shouldn't do things that are disgusting, and therefore it is just such a disgusting thing to do, both morally and I guess taste wise. I don't know, maybe it tastes like chicken, I don't know, but because it's so disgusting, and therefore and therefore, if the Torah brought up the fact that like you don't eat humans, like that would just be like a moral like deficiency, like it would bring down the standard of the moral code or the moral standard of the Torah, and therefore it just, you don't do things that are disgusting. Rav Kook says that this falls onto the list of disgusting, and therefore Torah doesn't need to state explicitly in the pasuk that this is a disgusting act. Questions, comments, concerns? Yeah. Hold on. Yeah.
What about desecration of corpses?
Like, oh, we're gonna get to it. We're gonna get to it in a second, and then ask your question if I don't say any more. Other questions, comments, concerns? Shh. I see you guys are not touching the chicken a lot. So. Okay, so maybe we should have done this on a sushi or pizza day. I don't know. The Ritva says that you're not allowed to eat human beings because you're not allowed to shecht people, because that would be murder, and you're not allowed to murder people. And therefore, you're not allowed, there's no proper shechita, and also you're not allowed to have benefit from a dead body, and also you're not allowed to have benefit from an animal that is not shechted. So you have a two-pronged sword here. You're not allowed to get any benefit from a non-shechted animal, like a dead corpse, and you can't have a benefit from a dead human body. Yeah. You have a question?
When you say benefit, like financially?
There was a big question, I believe, when football first came out, because footballs are used to be called pigskin because they were made of pigskin. So the question was, are Jews allowed to throw around the old pigskin? It's a big question because it's a non-kosher animal that maybe you're not allowed to benefit from its corpse. So it's a big shaila. Maybe we'll do that a different week.
Is that why we can donate organs?
That's totally, no. That's more of like you're really supposed to be buried with your entire body. So much so that my great-grandmother, I believe, she had diabetes, And so when there's a way to search up online, like people's people's cemetery, like where their plot is. So I'll search up my grandmother. It's my great grandmother, and she has two entries for her. It's Ida, I think it was Ida, Ida Gerwitz, and Ida Gerwitz leg, because she had so her leg was buried first. So if you get what's it called?
Amputation.
Thank you. If you get amputated, they have to bury it because it's a limb and it's from your body. And then they buried her in the same plot years later, or they exhumed the leg and they buried it in a plot. But you have to be buried with everything. So, like, I remember my father, Lava Shalom, when he passed away, we had to make sure to tell the hospital, don't pull any of the injections or the needles out, because they could potentially have a little bit of blood left in them, and you're supposed to be buried with all your blood and all your body parts. So they're just supposed to, it's a different question, but this, so you're just supposed to snip at the end and then get buried with everything. Blood, because it regenerates, you're allowed to donate it, but not once you pass away. So we could have a different total discussion on organ donation. That was a plan for next semester, but small preview about organ donation. What? No, not tomorrow. But I'm going to need a lot more research time on that. But okay, so again, so you're not allowed to benefit from a non-shechted animal, and also you have the problem of desecration of a corpse, and therefore human beings, you have a problem of eating, because how exactly do you eat them? Because you can't shecht, and you can't just find a dead person. That's according to the Ritva. However, in the late Middle Ages, and apparently in the modern, like pretty early modern era, there was actually very, very popular to eat the skin of human beings for health purposes. And they did it in Europe, apparently, and in the Middle East, and specifically in Egypt, where they had a lot of mummies. And that you would actually eat part of the mummy. And problem was, is that because there was such a high market for these pieces of mummies and mummy skins, that it ended up with a lot of stolen bodies from graves and body parts missing, particularly from graves or from all these types of things. So maybe it's not the best thing. The rabbis were worried that there would be desecration of and they would sell these body parts, obviously, and the stolen bodies. So they were worried about this very large desecration of human remains. So another reason possibly to osir it. However, the Radvaz, there are a couple of commentators who talked about in this time of people eating, of like whether or not this was something that was allowed. So the Radvaz basically says that it is prohibited to benefit from this dead body, particularly from the mummies. However, that if there are a lot of chemicals that are done to it that basically make it no longer like human flesh, so potentially it would be allowed, because it's not really, or really he says there's no prohibition. So whether or not that means that it's actually allowed is a little bit of different. And also the Ginat Viradim also says not allowed. So in the end of the day, it's not so clear. So the question comes actually in much smaller pieces also, where you have this question of also eating placenta, which is something that people do for health reasons. Whether or not that you can eat a placenta, is that considered kosher? Is it considered edible? Is it considered fleishigs? Is it considered pariv? Like, what is it? So some people say that basically they say it's just a secretion from the body, and therefore it would not be meat. But again, you shouldn't just eat plain placenta. It's probably better if it's ground up into a pill. And then potentially, again, falls into the same category. What? Yeah, we should have done this on a sushi or pizza day. Have some ketchup, maybe it's better. So then placentas, again, if it's in a pill, it might be a little bit better. But in the end of the day, when you look at overarching, It seems like the Rambam and the Ritva are fairly against cannibalism, and seemingly most other postgame don't have much to say against cannibalism. Some, again, Rav Kook says it's a disgusting act. Many agree with him. And again, according to the Rambam, if you have the option of human being or pig, you should eat a human being. And again, when we come down to the end of it and we look at everything, it doesn't really seem like we actually have a formal isser. I mean, according to many, there's no real formal isser in the Torah to eat human beings. And therefore, do with that what you will, and watch your back, because your friend might be a little bit hungry. Have a great day.